I said the day that I've agreed to be obedient to the Lord and do something that he's asked me to do for several weeks now is the day that I come in dirty from working and not having my teeth in. But I really want to do this because the Holy Spirit's upon me, and I know that this is important. It's important to me, and I think it's important to God. In the last chapter of Romans, chapter 16, the first 23 verses, Paul commends, recommends, gives honor to, builds up his fellow servants in the Lord. And I want to do that this morning, and my wife is totally unaware of this. I want to give her honor in front of this whole assembly here. I want to say that it's an amazing thing to me. Would you stand up, sister? I appreciate that. There might be somebody here that don't know you. Any reason to a point where sometimes I need to put the brakes on it, and probably I'm wrong sometimes. Eager to wash the clothes for the saints that come in dirty, eager to share her household with the saved and the unsaved, eager to cook, even to a point of individual meals for special things. And I just bless God more and more every day as I get to know Kathleen better, to be blessed by being her husband. And if you feel the same way about her as I do, let's please give her a big hand in Jesus' name.
That's what it's all about. That's what it is. That's it. We talk about being a servant, and God came to be a servant. Kathleen's a servant. She is. Paul could probably talk for hours and not touch on the things that this young lady has touched in all of our hearts in this church. And I think he's one of the lucky one of us, because he has her all the time at home. So, well, I'm gonna turn the service over to Mr. Sparks. And God bless you all, and Merry Christmas, and thank you for coming.
It says in the Word, don't be drunk on wine where it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And the Spirit is really a drink. You can just get wasted. But no hangovers, no red eyes, no regrets. It's just something that the more I do it, the more I want to do it. And I've had the hardest time this morning trying to stand up, and I knew it was coming, so now you've seen, and now we can go on. I borrowed a flashlight the other day from somebody looking at teeth. Some people have been blessed with gold fillings in their mouth. If you have a need today for prayer for your teeth, we don't have to ask for the gold. God just does it. And I talked to a young man who's been to a lot of schools, and he said, oh, be very careful. You know, and it says to try the spirits, and if you ask for an egg, you're not getting a scorpion. So we bind every spirit, and we do these things in the name of Jesus, and if he wants to... See, the heaven is just, the streets are paved with gold. This is just paving material we're talking about. It's not a big thing. But God always does the very best. And so if he gives you a gold crown, or you got a bad tooth and you need it filled, why not? Why not gold? I mean, he's going to do his very best for you. And so here this guy is all worried about, you know, what are we doing? And I'm a believer in letting God do something new, do something different. You know, Mike is up here this morning, you know, about Christmas. I remember my first Christmas after I got filled with the Spirit. I cried all the way through the songs. You know why? Because all of a sudden they all meant something to me. They were all real. Before it was just a song, and all of a sudden they're real, and the tears are just coming down. I began to realize what price he paid for us. And if anybody didn't deserve to get saved, I didn't. Anybody that knew me before, I mean, about half the guys in the county fell off their bar stool when I got saved. But I haven't had so much fun in my whole life. You know, they had a questionnaire the other day. What do you like to do best? What's you know, you like to fish, you like to hunt, you like to buy old cars. What do you want to do? And right away, without even thinking, I wrote down, pray for people. That's my primary. That's it. I can't think of another thing that I'd rather do. And some of the young guys are always wanting me to go fishing and do different stuff, you know. And you know, I'm not against fishing, but I like to fish for people now, because I was lost, and Jesus found me, and so I want to help somebody else find Him. And Jesus isn't a crutch; He's everything. You know, we got miracles in this place. God has healed us of cancer and crooked spines and all kinds of stuff. And this fellow was trying to tell me, well, you know, them things all passed away. And R. Roberts had a saying, I've never forgot it. My grandson, he's 17, he was visiting from California, and he said, Grandpa, that school I went to, it was a religious school, he said, all these things went away. And I said, well, Oral said it this way. This is something you can understand. Believe and receive, or doubt and do without. It's just about that simple. You want to believe it, receive it. And if you want to doubt it, then you're without it. Now, it's not hard to understand, is it? That's the way the Lord works. He works with us like children. You know, and we may be mature and we're all this and that, but really there's a little boy in each one of us, and there's a little girl in each one of us. Even though we get into this life and we mature, there's still that little person in there. And that little person is crying out for love. I prayed for a homosexual over the phone. We got a guy that drives a taxi cab in Portland. And I asked him, I said, would you like to have some more love? Is love really what you're looking for? And he said, yes. And when I began to deal with him with the love of Jesus, he converted over the phone. He asked Jesus into his heart. He asked the Holy Ghost to come. If I'd have said, you pervert, you know, you're going to hell, I don't think he'd want to receive the Lord. Do you? You see, we're not the judge. Jesus is the judge. I remember my grandson and I went in. Last time he was up, he had beeswax. His hair was all... So we went in this store, and these kids had these... They were redneck, and they had these rebel hats on. And so he's looking at them, they're looking at him. His pants are, he has to walk like this so his pants don't fall off. Because they're clear down. And he was putting a belt on yesterday. I said, what are you putting a belt on, Jason? He was going out hunting. And he says, so my pants don't fall down. So here's these rebel kids. And we come out of the store, and he says, them kids look kind of odd. What's the matter with them? I said, what do you mean they looked odd? And he said, well, what's them rebel hats mean? I said, I don't know, Jason. It's just what they're doing. I said, you didn't stop and think, maybe they thought you looked a little odd too. Well, it didn't dawn on him. You know, he had his spiked hair and he looked okay. These guys looked odd. You see, that's the way we are. We see something different, somebody else, different clothes or something. Let me tell you, clothes don't make a man or a woman. It's not what's on the outside. It's in here. It's in your heart. That's what he's trying to show us, is to love one another. I like the way this starts today, and I really like the Holy Spirit when he says, you know what I gave you this morning, the message? Yeah. Well, you ain't giving that. Now I got you all looking here at me, and I'm wondering, what am I gonna do? First thing I want to do is, would you take the mic over to our brother over there and ask him if he's got something to bless the Lord about? This one right here. Both buttons. I didn't want to put you on the spot, but I did.
Yay. I just want to praise the Lord. I'm still walking and talking.
Amen.
Everybody's prayer really helped.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, you can.
I just want to thank everybody for their prayers, because we were talking about Christmas this morning, and the greatest Christmas present that I have is set next to me, you know. And there's a lot that we could be down about right now, but, you know, having my husband and having things happen in our family where family was brought together over all of this, God had a reason. And we're still not out of the woods yet, but we got a long ways to go. And, you know, the Lord's still on the throne. And he's going to see us through everything that we go through. But I just thank the Lord for all you guys.
Anybody else got something that you'd like to praise the Lord for this morning? Yeah.
I just want to thank the Lord for his convicting power, and he's sifting me and changing me and showing me the hardness of my heart that I had. And he wants to take me to a newer dimension of service in him and prayer and intercession. And I praise God for that.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to go. Oh, go ahead.
My grandson went in for surgery, and the doctors had said he had a mangioma, which normally is malignant. And instead it turned out to be an angioma, which was just a group of surface blood vessels all that came to a lump. And I'm really rejoicing, because my granddaughter had been diagnosed with a mangioma when she was a year old, and she'd had to have a radical partial mastectomy. And so I have been real concerned about my grandson. I really praise the Lord. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Down here. You know, it says we defeat Satan by the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. And testimonies, I like them because, first of all, the Lord instructs us to do this. And second of all, whatever they say may be an encouragement for me. Maybe it's something I need to hear. And this is real life. This ain't something just out of a book. You know, a lot of times out of the book, you know, you can kind of wipe away the cobwebs. It's not real. But when you get Jesus working in people, it comes home. It gets real, real quick.
Hi, my name is Bobby, and I'm a lot of you guys have seen me here. I've been going since probably August, and had Bud praying for me several times. And I haven't seen my daughter in 2 months. There's a restraining order on me from seeing her, and I just really placed it on God's heart, you know, kind of a fleece before the Lord, that I want to spend Thanksgiving with my daughter. And I praise God that I have had her for the last 3 days. And in the last 3 days, we've gone and done a lot of things. One of the things we went to do was bowling. And I was kind of goofing off, but I took one of the kids' balls where I could only fit one finger in the bowling ball. And I went to throw it down the aisle, and I heard a crack. And right in between my two fingers here, I turned instantly black and blue. My thumb was, my finger was swelling, and first thing I said to Angela is, well, maybe we should start praying for it. And she says, right here? And I said, well, yeah. So she grabs hold of my finger, we just start praying for it right there in the alley. And minutes later, I'm back to bowling, finger's not broke, and praise God. Another thing, but I God's kind of told me to give you this cap. It's a Gap cap. Everybody knows the Gap's pretty name brand, but it also says right underneath, God answers prayers.
Praise the Lord. I'll have to let it out a little. I got a fat head.
Mike?
Yes, Mike. Yeah. You got something?
Mike, would you please come back here, please?
Oh. Bumstead, come into my office.
Well, I have a prayer request, and there's a man in prison, and he's got gangrene on both legs, and they will not give him medical help. And they're talking about amputating his legs, and his name is Doug.
Okay.
John LaCroix.
Jonathan.
And I've got a book by Jesus, 39 Stripes, I'm going to send him. But I would really like it if we could all corporately pray.
Jonathan, yeah. I always like to remember a story before we pray. Brother Paul back there that got up a while ago talking, he and I went to a hospital room where there was a lady in there that they was going to amputate her legs. Her name was Annie. She was a black gal. And it's a long story how I met up with a husband to go and pray. And her kidneys had given up, and she didn't have enough circulation. So Paul and I met the husband on the elevator, which I thought was beginning to make things come together. We went up to that hospital room, and we prayed for Annie. You'd like to know what happened? She was healed. 3 days later, they sent her home completely healed. She had a new liver. She still lives in Independence. This has been several years ago. That's the power of prayer. You know, and a lot of people say this don't happen anymore. Like I said, believe and receive or doubt and do without. But we believe that we've received. Jesus paid the price. Isaiah 500 years before Jesus, before the cross, said, by his stripes we were healed. And then Peter after the cross says, by his stripes we have been healed. Now them men, they're not liars. It says, let all men be liars and God be true. So my two biggest enemies, the Lord showed me early on, was doubt and unbelief. And the third big one was religious spirits. Those are the three that I have to deal with. And I got to believe what this says. I don't care what I smell, touch, feel. I got to believe what this says. I got to go back to it over and over again because people are always trying to say, well, brother, you don't really believe all that, do you? Yeah, I do. And if I don't, help down my unbelief, Lord. Yes?
I just want to say, too, that Pastor Bud, the gentleman over in Independence Care Center, I thank God for Kathleen's boldness because I wanted to pray for him many times, but he was so hard. And he's been a foster child and that sort of thing. And he's an adult. But he asked me the last time, I want you to tell me what this power for living is that the Mormons talk about on the TV. I said, the power for living is the Bible, Patrick. And God yes. wants you to know. He's yes. a Catholic. So pray the next time I go in with holy boldness, I need to go in there and give him the gospel.
This the same one?
Kathleen? No, John
LaCroix. Oh, it's different. Oh, okay. Okay, now. Okay. Lord, we just thank you for John right now, Lord. And the centurion said, send a word, Lord, my servant be healed. And Lord, we just send a word now. We come against the spirits of inheritance of the third and fourth generation, the sins and iniquities of the father. We break every curse, and we curse this seed that's in him that's trying to destroy his life. Lord, and I thank you that you're going to give his body newness of life. And we'll just give you the praise. And all God's children said, amen. Lord, as far as any of us going any place to witness, that you'll give us that holy boldness to come in boldly, walk in, and proclaim Jesus as King and Lord and Healer and the one who saves us. And we thank you for that also in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus. Bud?
Yeah.
Could I speak some?
Sure.
Well, folks, a lot of you know me, a lot of you don't. But this Thanksgiving was a real blessing to me. A year and a half ago, my family was, we were about ready to get a divorce.
I was long hauling. I was living in sin. And I was dropping off the Siskiyous. In 1970, my father committed suicide. And all these years, I couldn't figure out how anybody could take their life and leave as much pain behind as he had left. God led me right up to that point where I was ready to turn loose of the steering wheel of that 80,000-pound rig and take my life. I come around a corner. There was one lone state patrol car in the slow lane with his lights on. Right in the center lane was a body laying on the lane about 200 feet further down. There was another body. Up until just a couple, you know, and God spoke to me right then. He says, if it wasn't for my grace, that would be you on the ground right there. Now, I've given you a family, and I've given you a loving wife. What are you doing out here? Well, I also had two kids that my ex-wife would not allow me to see for almost 20 years. My son went off to the Marine Corps, and he graduated Thanksgiving Day, and he come back. When he come back, we got to spend Thanksgiving evening with him. We went out bowling. We had a good time. We found out that God had touched his life. And I've been praying, God, bring my family back. He didn't know anything about anointing. He didn't know anything about deliverance. So we prayed over him. We anointed him. We sent him some material. He's on his way back to San Diego to go back into boot camp. And God has given me 3 out of my 6 children back. And we claim it. It, you know, God's so awesome. And I'm like, Bud, I don't deserve any of it. Because when I was walking, I was an alcoholic. And if somebody walked up in front of me and got in my face, I was either, you get it on or get out of the way because I'm coming through. And he's changed me. I asked for his love to come through. Because I had no love. And I love each and every one of you. And I thank him for my family.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to chapter 4 in the book of John. Oh, Eleanor.
I just want to give honor to Kathleen and Paul for what they've meant to me. You know, I'm always involved with people and I get in deeper than I can handle the situations and they come and bail me out. Well, yesterday they came through again in a real dire situation and I just can't thank the Lord enough for them being my children that I've adopted. And I just want to tell them thank you again.
Praise the Lord. Jesus. Huh? Yeah, Children's Church. All you little ones want to go next door. We got teachers and fun and games and whatever. John 4. It's all right. I might have misread it, and then I have to do it again.
What page?
Page 99. Let's look at verse 46. You know, to me, I want to give the word so that it is real to us. If it's not real, what good is it? It's got to work for us. It's got to be something we can gather in. And not just something that happened a long time ago. It's like they used to say, well, the apostles ate all the potatoes, there's none left for you. Well, that's not true. God's got a big garden in it. He's still got, there's plenty there. And something else I want to get into is we talk about the gifts. Jesus is the gift. Amen. Now you stop and picture Jesus. Now, what's he lacking? The fruit of the Spirit or the power of the Spirit? No, he didn't lack anything. When we invite him in here, then we begin to operate in the same power, the same dominion. That's what he came for. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, part B, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. So what are we? We're Ghostbusters.
Hallelujah.
It's true. Verse 46. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water into wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. I had a son that the doctor said he was going to die. Melanoma cancer. It's a quick killer. And that was over 20 years ago, and he was at Thanksgiving dinner. See, if it's not your son, it may not be real to you, but it's real when they say your son's going to die. And I said, God, and he healed my son, and I was yet a sinner. I wasn't saved. I didn't know what saved was. I was yet a sinner, and God healed my son. And don't tell me that God don't heal and hear prayers, because he does. Okay. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. You know, there's the old religious spirit says, well, you're just after the signs and wonders. You're just after the gifts, not the giver. And they go on and on and on. Jesus is saying here, unless you see something, you're not going to believe. Now, when the Pharisees came to him, he says, you're going to get the sign of Jonah. What was the sign of Jonah? Jonah was swallowed by a whale. He was in the belly 3 days. Jesus was going to be in the earth for 3 days. Those religious people didn't know what he said, and he didn't care if they got it because they didn't want to hear him anyhow. He just said, you're going to get the sign of Jonah. And they're thinking, what's that got to do with anything? That guy was in a fish. You imagine Jonah when he was burped up on the beach, you know, and seaweed stuck to him. He's all white. He comes out of the surf, and this guy's surfing says, and he says, repent. Think about it. You know what happened? They all repented. Even the king said, even the chickens are going to repent. We're cutting off the food and water to everything. Everybody, the chicken didn't get saved, by the way. Okay, what is that? What's it saying? What am I trying to tell you? That you get determined to do something, and the Lord is there to help you. We can't do it. If you've been someplace where they got a bunch of rules and you keep all them rules and you're going to make it, you're in the wrong place. It says all come short of the glory of the Lord. That's why we need him to help us. We need that help. We need, how are we going to get through? Jesus. What's the next thing we're going to do? We're going to think about Jesus, and he is going to help us. He's going to give us his mind, give us his heart, and he gave his life already, so we give our life to him. It's easy. It's okay. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down ere my son die. See, he ignored what Jesus said. Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And he said, don't bother with that. My son's going to die. Did you hear me? My son, he's going to die. Unless you come down there, you know, I'm a goner. My son's going to be dead. And so he didn't pick up on any sayings. He just saying, I know about you, and I know if you come down there, my son's going to live. If Jesus shows up. Now, if we go to somebody's house to pray for him, where's Jesus? If he's in here, then he's with us. And if they look green and purple, let's see, green and, you know, they really look bad, pukey. It don't matter, because who's going to heal them? My grandson, I told him yesterday, I said, if my other grandson fell over dead, and I prayed and raised him from the dead, I said, who raised him? He said, Jesus. And I said, well, man can't raise people from the dead, but Jesus can. And this guy's saying, come on down. Get down here now. My son's going to die. And Jesus said to him, go thy way. Thy son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken to him and went his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son lives. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew it was at the same hour, and you might say moment, in which Jesus said to him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. How many knows that whole household wasn't a bunch of Christians? And I don't believe that guy was either. But see, when Jesus does a miracle, it says we can't lightly speak of him. If God heals somebody, I'll tell you, you go into a house and they can be into whatever, witchcraft and stuff hanging all over the walls and on, if somebody gets healed, they'll listen to you. You got their attention. And people say, well, we're not into that anymore. See, that was just for when Jesus was there to prove to these people. Well, do you think people are any different today? They're into all kinds of stuff. They need help. And when Jesus comes along, they say, wow, there's something real about this. I remember, I've told this before, but a friend of mine brought a drunk into the meeting at Newport. This guy couldn't hit the floor with his hat. I mean, he was just bombed. And he's standing there beside me, looking at the people. You know, and I was so furious. Here, this, just bombed. So finally he turns around and sits down, and I'm talking like I do. And he punches this buddy and he says, hey, listen to this. And pretty soon he's looking at me. He says, you believe that, don't you? And I said, absolutely. Hey, he believes it. He kept poking his buddy. Long story short, by the time he left there, he was saved and sober. God just took it away. He was okay. Just awesome. Now see, what if I'd have took him and run him out the door? You know, I'd have had to show him the door. He didn't know what it was. and run him out. See, if we run people off, who's going to love them? Who's going to take the time to put up with them? You know, a man got me out on the street one day and he says, long-suffering? Yeah, he said, what does long-suffering mean? I said, how long did Jesus put up with you, buddy? He's I got it. I mean, he instantly had it. This guy's about 50 years old. He says, wow, that's what long-suffering is. God put up with us. He's still putting up with us. You know, just because you get saved, don't think it's over. It's just, oh, God, is it just beginning? I mean, it really gets wild. But see, he's there all the way. Never leave or never forsake. That one song we sang this morning about he can't keep a good man down. Part of that, the words, I almost need an interpreter because I'm trying to keep up with it, you know. I made it through. But see, the message is you can't keep a good man down. So when he calls us into the kingdom, we belong to him. He's standing up for us. Think about that. The God that created the universe is your friend, and he's standing up for you. When everybody can put you down and run you off, Jesus won't ever leave or forsake you. You know, my grandson this morning, my son wanted me to pray for his knee. And my grandson, his hair was down this morning. It's just blonde on top. He said, which is fine. I don't care if it's spiked or whatever. His dad said, you want prayer? And he says, no. That was pretty quick. Pretty soon, they were getting ready to leave. He said, Grandpa, he said, I want you to pray for me. And so I prayed for him. And he's really rebellious. But yet he's got Jesus, and that spirit in there, the Holy Spirit, keeps, you know, drawing him back to where the food is, where the life is, you know, and all his drum playing and all. He's got this album. He said, Grandpa, I got a Christian album. It's hard Christian rock. So I go in there and this guy's like, you know, this is the way the guy sounds singing his song. I'm thinking, What's he saying? Oh, it just sounds like some guy way down in a well is dying. Oh! I said, that's good, Jason. As long as it's Christian. Of course, there's people telling him it's demonic and on and on. But let me tell you something. If you turn a faucet off, you get no water. You turn them off, you're not gonna communicate with them. And it's not our job to turn them off. You know, God's their judge. You got to show them love. You know, and we was over at the coast, and there were some real kind of kids. I won't even get into it. And they're eyeballing me, and Jason says, "Ada, he's cool. He's okay." Yeah, he told them, because they were really. And so then they were okay. Everything was fine. And so they accepted me just because he said he's cool. He's okay. Yeah, it does. They had trains and, oh, God. We went in the wax museum, the House of Horror, you know. I'm wondering, are these the ones with me or the ones behind the thing, you know. They're just kids. You know, I can remember when we wore our Levi's, we wore them way high. We had these real bright Argyle socks, bright pink, and like looked like you were going wading. You got these bright socks. You they'd throw a net over you today if you wouldn't run around doing that. But we thought it was cool. And then we started wearing cords, and then we'd try and keep them away from our mother, and the guy that wore them the longest without washing them. Well, then they get like 10 pants. I mean, you could just get them off and just stick them in the corner. They wouldn't even fold down. One kid made it 3 months, and his mom caught him when he wasn't looking and washed him. And then we was into another fad. But, you know, it was just one, this and that. Oh, yeah. White cords, you had to buy them, bleach them white, and then make them a certain pink collar. This is cool. And then we wore them so they just barely would. They had a little thin belt, and then you wore them clear down on the, you know, the crotches weren't quite as far as they are down today. But yeah, that was. And what was the shoes we had? They were real clompers. Yeah, suede. No, and it wasn't suede. It was anyhow. They were expensive, and everybody had to have them, and they clomped and clunked down the hall, and oh boy. And then we think kids are weird today.
There, that's kind of like the sins of the fathers coming down.
Right. Yeah. my grandson took the pickup down the field and then back, and then he went down and got it stuck. And what was it you said? The ability to be dumb, I think, is what she said. Praise you, Lord Jesus. There, now this is what's going on. You got this pickup. He goes down into this field. It's good, hard ground. It's one of those that the crop stays. Yeah, with the rain, it's hard. But the field next to it was just put in. He makes it about 40 feet into it before it went down. And he'd been down there and back already, and they let him go the second time. So she's saying, like father, like son. I think she's trying to say, like grandpa. What you're trying to say? Praise the Lord. See, the Lord can break all those curses. That's what we're here for. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the third epistle of John. It's right next to Jude, and I'm gonna finish up with that. I hope we've got something out of this today. Jesus heals, saves, and the biggest thing is he does really care for us. The message the Lord had me with this morning was all about the blood and on and on, and he said it's okay. We need the blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins, and Jesus gave his blood for us. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Doesn't that sound like good news? He wishes that we prosper, and he has a wish that we have health, good health. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren come and testify to the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Okay? He told the Pharisees, you know, told the people about the Pharisees, rather. He said, if you love your own and that's all you can love, you're no better than the Pharisees. See, we have to be able to love people that we don't know. We have to be able to love people that are unlovable. And how are you going to do that? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the only one who can cause that to happen. You know, Sandra got a couple of sheep she bought, little stick things to put on the porch. And so we decided we'd get a whole herd and name y'all. You know something else? None of the sheep belong to me. Hallelujah. I'm supposed to tend the sheep, but they don't belong to me. They belong to Jesus. He bought them and paid for them with his own blood. And so I don't have the responsibility of owning the sheep, but I do have the responsibility of taking care of the sheep that are in my pasture. And as they come through, it's up to me to do whatsoever God has called me to do. And each one of us, we get to that point where we esteem the other greater than ourselves. That's hard to do. Lord, don't you know how slow they are? Don't you know what a nitwit they are? We can go on and on in our mind. But see, the Lord says, wait a minute. They're made in my image. I created them. And every one of us has got the only nose we got and the only ears and eyes. We're all very special unto the Lord. And don't ever let the devil tell you that you're not special. He's a liar. You know how you know when the devil's lying? His lips are moving. Okay, and now I'll give you a clue this morning to prosperity. If you feel there's a word coming to you and a spirit pushing you down, I'll guarantee it's not Jesus. Never has been, never will be. But you got a spirit coming to you that's lifting you up out of the miry clay. It says, I'll take you from the dunghill and set you up and make you a prince. That's always Jesus. He's always lifting. And the devil's always pushing down. It's easy to tell. What's the voice of the Lord? He loves you. He wants to help you. He didn't come to condemn us. He came to save us. The church could ever get that. And then what's the difference between me and the guy? There's a bar right over here. Spent a lot of time there. Used to know the owner personally. What's the difference between those guys and us? They're having church over there, but they haven't found out what the real drink is yet. They're paying money, and we're getting it for free. Well, I'll tell you, that makes money and sense. Which have borne witness of the love before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because for his namesake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. In other words, nothing of the world. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, Plato, Socrates, Diotrephes, Diogenes. Okay. You guys have never heard sophomore philosophy, have you? Would you like to hear it? They sing this. Plato, Socrates, Diogenes are known for their philosophies. The more you study, the more you learn. The more you learn, the more you forget. The more you forget, the less you know. So why study? The less you study, the less you know. The less you know, the less you forget. The less you forget, the more you know. So why study? Sophomore philosophy. Okay. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither does he himself receive the brethren, and forbids them that would, and casts them out of the church. There's a classical religious spirit. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but which is good. He that does good is of God, and he that does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has good report of all men, and of truth itself. Yea, we have also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not in ink and pen write to you unto these things now. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. And I should say in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you today for the word. Lord, as best I have been given the ability to proclaim that you are our Lord and King and Master. And Lord, that Christmas time is a time of understanding that you are all giving. You didn't come to be served. You came to serve. Amen. Here's the God that created the universe with the same arm that created the universe in a flesh arm, washed our feet. Lord, if we can receive that servant's heart today and think about Christmas time coming, that we might reach out to someone who is less fortunate. We might reach out to someone who has not as much knowledge as we do about Jesus. We might reach out to a neighbor who we have ought against, and begin to pray for them and forgive them, Lord. And as we begin to do that, if we take our mind off of self, Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. That's the beginning of the love of Jesus working through us. When we give our lives over for a sacrifice, and our life doesn't...